We hold these truths to be self-evident.
If our enemies dare to strike us, they and all who have aided them will face fearful consequences.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The eyes of the world are upon you. You will bring about the destruction of the German war machine.
And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. How are you guys doing? Welcome over here to Speak the Truth, Episode 6. This is September 3rd, 2021. I'm going to tell you guys, I want to say thank you so much to all you guys who have been listening to this either on Apple, Spotify, and or Google. It doesn't really matter. Thank you so much. We've actually done some stuff I would have never, ever, ever anticipated. We are sitting number 3 on the charts right now on Apple for politics. Like right now, we're sitting number 3 in the world on the political chart on Apple. For podcast. That is wild to me. And over on Spotify, we're sitting 21st in the world on all podcasts. They don't have it broken down into categories like Apple does. So I just went and said, you know what, let's check. Maybe we're in the top couple hundred to 500. I didn't really anticipate us to be 21st in the world on all Spotify podcasts. To me, that is absolutely crazy. I don't think we're going to stay there. I just think it's because it's the launch of this. But I would like to say thank you so much because that's pretty impressive. We made it in the top 25 on both Apple and Spotify in the first week. And to me, that's pretty, I love it. That's pretty awesome. Right now we're sitting in 32nd in Apple. We were sitting in 24th, I think, this time yesterday. I would assume we're going to drop off just a little bit because that's just the way it goes. I do want to say thank you so much to every single person who has listened to this. And next week, we should have all the YouTube videos up and ready to go. They're not going to be backlog stuff. It'll just be new stuff. And that should be prepped and ready. Hopefully, all this stuff will be in by this Sunday, and I'll have everything rolling out for you guys to have a more visual aesthetic podcast if you guys want to watch it like that. But, you know, we're going to roll into, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in America right now outside of the Taliban stuff. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a couple in California. This is something that you knew was going to happen. Whenever the government's going to give money away, you're going to have people that are going to try to take advantage of it. And there was a LA couple. They were convicted of a $21 million fraud, a COVID-19 relief fraud. And there was also four other people that were with them that pleaded guilty as well for various charges in connection with the fraud scheme. I would assume it's the ones that they're working with to get the money. I haven't read too far into it, but I'm going to tell you guys right now, Richard Avizian, I can't say his name. I'm going to be honest with you. Avizian. They look like he just smashed a keyboard on the ground. And Marietta Terabillion, 37-year-old lady. They were both found guilty in a $21 million bank and SBA fraud and are set to be sentenced. This is from the FBI. They had ankle bracelets on and they cut them off. And now they're literally on the run right now. Their brother and a Glendale man were both charged at the same time. I mean, this is something that you shouldn't be too shocked is happening. One, like I said, if you guys give money away, someone's going to find a way to do something bad with it, to make a scheme out of it. What they were doing, they were using fake and or stolen identities to apply for loans guaranteed by Small Business Administration. So those SBA loans they're giving out to help small businesses get through the pandemic, they were literally making fake identities and just getting free money. Then they were using it for down payments on luxury homes in Southern California and to buy gold coins, diamond jewelry, luxury watches, and fine imported furnishing, designer handbags, clothing, and he even bought a Harley Davidson motorcycle. Talk about an absolute idiot. So you're going to take a loan for an SBA and then you're going to buy a Harley Davidson. You don't think that the federal government's going to come back and try to figure out what you're doing with this money? Oh God, you can't fix stupid. You cannot fix stupid. But I will say, hey, you know what's kind of crazy? My number one city on this podcast right now is Seattle. Of all places, Seattle. It was like Seattle to New York. I was like, what in the world is going on here? Apparently there's a bunch of you guys that are there that are just pretty much tired of the bullshit that happens in those crime-ridden cities. And you actually want to listen to somebody speak something that's half decent that's going on. But anyway, here in LA, this is pretty good too. This is going to get some of y'all fired up. I'm going to play a clip for it here in a second, but there's a California superintendent who was apparently not sure they had an Antifa teacher. I don't know if you guys know this, but Project Veritas exposed them. I don't know if you guys knew who they are. They go around and they expose a bunch of shit that goes on behind the scenes. And I think I don't know how they do it, but they do a phenomenal job of it. And I gotta give them props because somehow they infiltrate all these people and they know how to get to them. And then they record them. They record them saying really dumb shit. And I'm going to go ahead and just play the clip of the dumb shit that they've said.
I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries.
How do you do that? How do you
scare the fuck out of them? Yeah. And I do it for extra credit, so they get points for doing it. Like, and so that encourages them to do it. And I've had like students show up for like protests, community events, you know, tabling. When they go, they take pictures, they write up a reflection. That's their extra credit. Like, I have an Antifa flag on my wall. And a student complained about that, and he said it made him feel uncomfortable. Well, this is meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, so if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you. Like,
so I want to point out a few things there. I know you guys can't see it visually, but I was watching it. So inside the classroom, he had an Antifa flag. He also didn't just have an Antifa flag. Next to it, he had a gay pride flag. There's no American flag in there. And it's so ironic because I was talking about yesterday and the day before, there was a teacher in California that was making her teachers pledge allegiance to the gay pride flag. She took the American flag down because it made her feel uncomfortable. But this guy's students tell him, hey, that flag makes me feel uncomfortable. And he just says, well, that means you're a fascist. This is the crazy, crazy left. This isn't like the normal left. I know a lot of people realize or want to put these people in the same categories. It's not. You have like your left, and then you have your right, and then you have your extremes of both sides of that. And this is definitely the extreme. But the crazy thing is I know that the normal left, they don't look at these people, and they don't think that they're really that bad because they don't really go against anything that they believe in. So they kind of just let them be, you know what I mean? But when the school board found out, or the district found out, they said that they wish that someone would have spoken up about this earlier, and if they did, we need to apologize, we need to find out how to fix that. That's the other crazy thing. So you have Project Veritas is having to actually out this when kids have... I'm going to make the assumption that someone had to have said something about it, because right now it says right here that the district's internal probe turned up evidence of a professional conduct violations going back as far as 2018. Some of it, he said, was subtle enough to avoid suspicion during classroom observation in the past. How could you walk in as being a principal or just another teacher or really anybody, and you see the flag on the wall, and that right there should tell you, holy shit, we probably should turn this guy in for something. What the fuck are you? What, like, you can't walk into a classroom as a sound mind adult, like a of clear mind, and look at it and say, holy shit, that something's not right here. And then after having a conversation with this guy, you probably realize, holy fuck, this guy's a nut job. This guy is absolutely fucking insane. He was sending his kids to these protests and right-wing protests to go against them and whatnot for extra credits. This is a guy that's teaching classrooms. He said he has 180 days to indoctrinate kids. That's what he used his classroom as. It literally says at the very beginning of the video, I have 180 days to turn them talking to the students into revolutionaries. Come on now. And that's taxpayers' dollars. The California taxpayers are paying this guy to turn his kids or their kids or who's ever kids into revolutionaries for Antifa. Can I also ask a question? Is California the only state that has gay pride flags inside of the classrooms? That's got to be a thing, because this is the second story that's came up this week, and it's literally the second classroom that had a gay pride flag in it. Like, in it. It's fucking weird. So they had a school board meeting about this, and there's some videos online about it. I'm not going to watch them right here, but the main guy that was in charge, he said, we were only supposed to give people 20 minutes to speak. The board made a decision that they wanted to hear people out, and it was time went on, the energy in the room increased, and then when it reached a point that was no longer safe, they ended the meeting. So the parents were so furious over this that they showed up to school board meeting, and I can only imagine. I've been in situations where I've gone from 0 to 100 pretty quick. It happened the other day at Best Buy, not gonna lie. I left a camera there to get replaced. Little side note story here. Left the camera to get replaced, and I came back, and apparently it was past their 90-day period. I travel a lot, as you guys do know, and they said they recycled it. They recycled my camera. Yes, you're hearing this correctly. It was a $4,000 body of a camera, and then it recycled. And I asked the guy behind the counter, I said, so you're telling me I was gone for just 91, 92 days, whatever it was, and you recycled my fucking camera? I was like, what the? You recycled it? He's like, yes, because you didn't answer your phone. I said, how the fuck? How do you know you even got in contact with me? Anyway, long story short, they recycled my body and my camera. So I know what it feels like to go from 0 to 100 real quick. That happened last week. Also, side note, why the hell didn't you just sell the camera? Why they had to recycle it? I wouldn't have been as bad if they just would have sold it. Like, no, we misplaced it. We sold it on accident. We got a couple grand for it. Here, we'll help you. Here's you're going to get another one. No, we sent it off to get recycled. You know, it turned into a Coke can. Fucking most expensive Coke can I've ever seen. So as you guys know, over the last week or two, Biden's pretty much botched everything in front of him. And next is the fact he's most likely not going to do anything for the survivors of Hurricane Ida. because I know Ida ripped through, I'm sure everybody knows this, terrible floods up in the Northeast, ripped through Louisiana, destroyed a ton of stuff. And currently, as I'm recording this, 43 people have been reported dead from the storm itself. And Biden did say that his message to the people of the Gulf Coast, this is directly from him. So here's Biden. He says, we are here for you, and we're making sure the response and recovery is equitable so that those hit hardest get the resources they need and are not left behind. So this would hold some weight to it probably a month ago or a month and a half ago, because it wouldn't be that big of a deal for a president to come in and send resources in the United States. I mean, we're talking, it's really not that big a deal for him to do that, right? I mean, he just puts federal grant money, some federal money aside. They pay contractors to come in, they clean it up, and that's pretty much what he does. He doesn't really have to do anything himself. I mean, let's be really honest here. He doesn't really have to do anything. He just says, yes, get it done. And then 200 other people get it done. But I mean, these words are pretty much empty because he said the same thing about everybody in Afghanistan literally 7 days ago. He says, we will not leave you behind. And that's literally what he tells the people of Ida. We will not leave you behind. But these are empty words. And a gentleman named Mark Meadows actually blasted pretty good about it. He said, Joe Biden told hurricane survivors they won't be left behind, which would be comforting words had he not said the exact same thing last week. Literally exactly what I said. And then he turned his back, leaving hundreds of Americans behind in Afghanistan. Now, that's pretty accurate, is it not? And just as you would think, he would said some shit like, we want to express my heartfelt thanks to the first responders and everyone working through the night and well into the morning to save lives and get power back. There's a lot of damage. I made clear to the governors, my team in the Federal Emergency Management, FEMA, is on the ground ready to provide all assistance that's needed. Like I told you guys, these are just literally just fucking talking points for him. I mean, as of right now, if you guys know this, but he is absolutely taking a dump in the polls. I'm talking a major dump. We're talking, you just had the best hole-in-the-wall Mexican food in your entire life type dump. Like, just straight runnage, flowage coming out. And it's probably sending a bit of the Democrats into a little bit of a panic, to be honest with you, because his approval rating has slid all the way down to 43%. I read one yesterday, it was 36. It wasn't as trusted as this one. So this one's 43. That's a drop of 6 points in a single month. And his disapproval has actually shot up, so you won't that to go down, but it's actually shot up 7 points and is now 51%. What's killing them though, what's really killing them is the independents, the people that are kind of in the middle. You know, the right, the people on the right, the Republicans absolutely despise them. I mean, I think it was like 82%. Yeah, right here. Not even despise them, they hate them. 82% of Republicans hate Biden. Okay, not super shocking. But the big thing is 41% of people said they strongly disapprove of the job Biden is doing, while just 19% approve. That's pretty bad. So if you have an entire country, 19% only say that, 19, and that's between right and left, that's a pretty telling number right there in itself. So the big thing that they're worried about, though, is in Gallup's polling history, presidents with job approval ratings below 50% have seen their party lose 37 House seats on average in midterm elections, which is coming up next year. That compares with an average loss of 14 seats with the president's had approval ratings of about 50%. So the big thing about that is midterms. Why do you think they keep coming up with these January 6th stuff? I haven't really talked about it much on this thing, but they just subpoenaed everybody from Congress, which is kind of crazy because from what I know, I'm not a lawyer. From what I know and what I've read and what I've listened to, I was listening to Dan Bongino talking about it yesterday, is they're actually not even legal. Apparently, those subpoenas that they've been sending out are actually can only be used for legislative reasons, and they're not. So basically, they're just trying to create a bunch of hype. So they're scared to run in the midterm elections, which is kind of crazy to think about, but it's not far-fetched. I'm not going to talk about it much. This kind of podcast, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not smart enough to be one. There's guys out there like Shapiro, for instance. Some of the things that he talks about, I don't even understand and or even fathom. Sometimes he loses me because he's so damn smart. I have no idea what the hell the guy's even talking about. When he's talking about Texas abortion laws, holy shit, that is a hole that I don't even want to go down. Because I don't understand it. All I know is I read it and it says you cannot have an abortion after 6 weeks. All right. Well, how'd they come to that conclusion? Well, you're going to have to ask somebody else. Because right now he dives into that shit deep. And that's not really my forte. So if you guys want to know about that stuff, you have to go over there. All I know is that's a huge thing that's going on right now. And I'm not really privy to explaining in the exact details. I know that he put something out yesterday that was an hour long that is talking about it, and it lost me 10 minutes into it. I was like, holy shit, this guy dove deep. But I do know a lot of stuff about this, what I'm about to speak about, and this is pretty much this is something that's never going to stop. So I told you guys, told you all, weeks ago, a month ago, if you guys are following me, you guys know I've been saying this for a long time, especially when it comes to Afghanistan. You're going to have that place become a hotbed for terrorist activities and whatnot. But you're also going to have people that are going to spur up in random areas of the world, and they're going to want to be just like them. That is a huge problem. And, of course, yesterday, actually wasn't even yesterday, it was a couple hours ago, New Zealand authorities say Islamic terrorists stabbed six at a supermarket, but thank God he was shot. But this has actually happened. A Sri Lankan national was known ISIS supporter, the country prime minister said. So that's the other thing. If they know this is a known ISIS supporter, like, how many of these are in America, or how many of these are in Canada, or how many of these are in Europe? Like, how many are, like, what is going on in Afghanistan? What's going to make them want to go out and do stuff like this? Authorities newly say they shot and killed an Islamic terrorist on Friday afternoon within 60 seconds. Within 60 seconds of when he started stabbing people at a supermarket. So they shot and killed this piece of shit within 60 seconds of him starting stabbing people, and he still stabbed six people. Of the six people stabbed, three were in critical condition, one was serious, and two were in moderate condition, according to a news outlet over there in New Zealand. The man is a Sri Lankan national, was known ISIS supporter, and was being followed around the clock, the prime minister said over there, and which is kind of crazy. I guess maybe that's why they got him so quick, because he was being followed around the clock. I don't know. Apparently this guy had some stuff on his computer as well. So he was being watched after he was sentenced last month to 1 year of supervision. They're probably going to rethink this for all the other ones. For possession of ISIS propaganda, specifically a video of people being murdered. Yeah, I don't know. How do you do something like that? Oh, wow. This is even crazier. So the government actually had tried to sentence this guy who stabbed all these people. They tried to sentence them under the Terrorism Suppression Act, but they were denied. Yeah, I don't know. Told you guys that shit was going to happen, and it is happening. There's some good stuff that's going on. A group of veterans rescue hundreds of American allies, which is pretty awesome. That is still going on as of right now. Travis Peterson is a retired master sergeant in the U.S. Air Force, and he's helped a nonprofit called Ark Solace. And their entire mission is to protect and rescue Afghan allies and their families. So that's still going on as of this morning. And he says, we will keep going on as long as we can and as many as we can. Afghans fought side by side with me, saved my life numerous times, countless times, and I owe them this. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You see, you have literally nonprofits and veterans still out there doing the job that Biden and his administration should be doing, and has way more power and way more capabilities than we do as just normal civilians, and they're sitting on the fucking sideline doing absolutely nothing. Right now, they have actually rescued 200 to 300 people currently from Afghanistan. They've taken 200, 300 more. So there's still 500 American citizens that they have right now. Peterson, the guy that's running this entire thing, they have 500 American citizens still in Kabul who cannot get out and who are left behind by the government. This is not even including the Afghans who assisted the United States for the past 20 years. They've coordinated, the group has said that they've coordinated with other countries, including Sri Lanka and the Czech Republic, who have agreed to take Afghan refugees once they've been evacuated. I do give this guy props. He's doing a lot of stuff that he doesn't have to do. He's going out of his way to do stuff that he could be sitting here in America eating a nice, sweet, succulent, like a cheeseburger, and hanging out with his family, but he's stuck over there having to do the job the Biden administration should be doing. Like, they should have got done. Should have been done 2 weeks ago. Man, some of the shits is just fucked. Did you guys know a judge blocked an unvaccinated mom from seeing her son? This is also another thing that I'm reading. I'm actually seeing this one on the Daily Wire right now. The case, Rebecca Furlett is a mother of an 11-year-old boy who lives in Chicago. Another one of those cities that is just absolutely fucking, I'm going to use the word bonkers. I don't even know if I've ever used that word. But as a one of those cuckoo fucking weird cities. So this is even more crazy. You guys want to know some crazy shit? This is how much power you guys say that you want stuff from the government. This is when you don't want the government that power. Mother of an 11-year-old boy in Chicago. She was apparently in August. She was during a child support hearing via Zoom. The Cook County judge, James Shapiro, suddenly asked. This is the most random fucking thing to ask. Why would you even ask this? He asked her if she had been vaccinated against COVID-19. When she said she had not, the judge stripped her of all visitation rights. Me being a parent, I would go ape shit. If some judge decided to take my visitation rights away from my daughter because I didn't get a vaccine, what the fuck? And to make it even worse, she said that her doctor had advised her against it because she's had adverse reactions to other vaccines in the past. So not only was she told not to get it, but then now she can't see her son because she was told not to get it. And you have some asshole sitting on a bench that's wielding a fucking hammer, thinks that he's got too much fucking power. That's wild to me. I don't know. I'm not against the vaccine. I'm not really a big thing, and I don't really know if the masks work. I don't think anybody really actually physically knows if they work. My big thing with me is I got vaccinated because I wanted to travel, and I got Moderna. I got the two jab thing. I got both of them. I'm also not really scared of vaccines. I've had when I was in the military, I mean, hell, I had typhoid, anthrax like 4 times with booster shots, and I've had so many random shit shoved inside of me. I've smallpox and all the hepatitis and everything you could possibly imagine. I've had yellow fever. I don't even know. Honestly, I'd have to go look at my shot records. I've had a lot of shots in the military. And my thought process was, what is one more going to do to me? I mean, I have no idea. There's 20-something, 100 million people that have got this thing. You know what? Let's just get it done and over with. I'm not really scared of it. I got the Moderna one. I know a lot of people that actually have it, and some people are advocates of it. I have a good friend, Dustin Connell, who was strongly against it about 3 months ago, and then he got this new strand of COVID and it put him in the hospital, and then it put him on oxygen. He's now just coming off oxygen like 45 days later, and now he's like, no, I actually think the vaccine is a good thing. So just I think it also varies person to person. I don't think people really understand the whole COVID thing in the first place, because his wife had it and nothing was wrong with her. I don't understand it personally. So anyway, there's that. But if you guys didn't know this, you may not be able to go to movie theaters if you don't have a vaccine, by the way, because movie theaters are considering doing vaccine mandates. This is coming out. The biggest chain just said this, implementing it. Like, my question is, these businesses start mandating a vaccine, how are they going to regulate it when it comes in? Now you're going to create a market on the side for people to make fake vaccine passports, which I do know. I guarantee you, which I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to go to Google. You hear me typing. Fake vaccine cards. One day ago, woman arrested for fake vaccine card. New Jersey woman charged with selling fake vaccine card. Fake Viserna vaccine card sees woman facing a year in prison and $5,000 fine. Look at that. It took me literally 2 seconds to search that, and that's what came up. So when you do stuff like this, you're going to create a market on the side. I know for a fact that you can get a fake ID in China and have it sent over, for God's sakes. Why wouldn't they do fake COVID vaccines and have them sent over? Not COVID vaccines themselves, but cards. So weird. So I guess we'll move on to somewhere outside of the United States again. We're going to go back over to Afghanistan here. We're going to take a quick little short flight, and we're going to talk about the fact that Taliban say they're going to rely on Chinese funds. That's directly from the spokesperson of the Taliban. With the help of child of Taliban... Oh, my God. Find your words this morning. Need more coffee. Wait one. With the help of China, the Taliban will fight for an economic comeback in Afghanistan. That's literally what their spokesperson said to an Italian newspaper. It said directly that they were relying primarily on financing from China following the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan and its takeover of the country. So you're telling me that a foreign force is going to be relying on another country for its money and for its financing? So what does that make it? Does it make it its own state, or does it make it an entity of the Chinese government who is funding them? And he goes on to say that China is our most important partner and represents a fundamental and extraordinary opportunity for us because it is ready to invest and rebuild our country. That is, to me, it's almost like China sees the value in Afghanistan from a different perspective than what we've seen it. They see it as in, they see the minerals and all that stuff. They want to build a roadway to go all the way through. I did a little research on this about a week ago on, they're trying to basically build a road from China through Pakistan and Afghanistan just for trade routes and shit like that. But they want all the resources. They want to get all the resources, all the natural resources out. That's what they see. What Americans saw when we took it over, which it's kind of ironic because a lot of people in America think we went there for oil. And when I see those comments and those people trying to say that, I don't want to say that you're an idiot, but you sound really fucking stupid. Because I've been all over that country and we 100% were not there in oil. Or for oil, excuse me. I know specifically when I was there that there was mining going on and it was done by Chinese and they had their own security up in the mountains. Like, I do know that. I do know that was going on. I'm not going to get into that because I don't know any more details other than that. But I always found it very, very interesting. The people in America always saying, we went to these wars to get oil and fucking... No, we were there to stop terrorism like we did. We smothered it and it didn't really happen for how long. It wasn't a big thing. But guess what? A few days after, we already have more ISIS attacks in other countries and they're going to continue to spread like a fucking cancerous specimen that they are. Just scum of the earth. They're going to spread. It's going to happen. Oh, look. I didn't even see. Look, they're talking about, they call it the new Silk Road. There it is. That's literally the thing I was just talking about. This is what he's talking about. He said the new Silk Road, an infrastructure initiative with which China wants to increase its global influence by opening trade routes, was held in high regard by the Taliban. There are rich copper mines in the country, which, thanks to the Chinese, can be put back into operation and modernized. In addition, China is our pass to market all over the world. Man, this can go even more. It's not even a conspiracy at this point, because if you let them get a foothold into the world market with their copper and their minerals. That just gives them more funding to do more terrorist shit. So that's why I keep, like, when people say it was a 20-year endless war, it was not a 20-year endless war. We were there to stop shit like this from happening, and now this is going to happen, and we're going to have to deal with it 5 years, 10 years from now. It's going to be a fucking major issue. We're going to have Iran squared. It's going to be another Iran. That's even more fucking crazy. See, this is fucking wild. Why are they doing this? United Nations Chief Antonio Guterres warned of a looming humanitarian catastrophe in Afghanistan and urged countries to provide emergency funding as a severe drought and war have forced thousands of families to flee their homes. Oh my God, it's terrible. It's crazy. They're going to end up giving money to the Taliban indirectly through giving funds to Afghanistan. There's no government in Afghanistan. How are they going to provide humanitarian aid when they're not allowed in there, because they're going to be beheaded or killed? And I'm lost for words on this. It's not going to happen. It's not going to end well. And to go on from that, I'm going to tell you guys right now, let's go ahead and check off the Taliban rely heavy on Chinese. There's heavy clashes are erupting between Taliban and anti-Taliban groups in Afghanistan's Panjshir province. I told you guys yesterday while I was filming that's going on, and I'll tell you right now, as I'm filming this right now, the same thing is going on. There's literally a group in the Panjshir Valley the Panjshir province, the 100% are fighting as we sit here and I'm drinking my morning coffee, looking at a beautiful sunrise. There's men who are fighting against a bunch of other fuckheads who are trying to maintain their land and to keep their freedom that we just shit all over. I'm not going to get too far in depth in this, but I know for a fact, earlier on Thursday, in NRS, the National Resistance Force, that's the ones who are fighting the Taliban right now in the Panjshir Valley, they said in an audio message that Taliban has lost 40 of their forces. They've killed 40 Taliban members over this last week or so. And said Thursday, the Taliban had also lost a number of heavy equipment and weaponry that has been destroyed, which is good. And I've told you guys, and some of you guys, maybe I've shed some light on the shit that we gave them, the Humvees or whatever that was left behind, which, you know, I was thinking about, like, this actually crossed my mind when I was driving yesterday up here. I was thinking to myself, why in the world didn't we just shoot the tires out to the Humvees? Or why didn't we just stab them? Or why didn't we just pop all the tires of the Humvees before we left? That literally would make them inoperable right then, instantly. I didn't even think about that till I was driving up. Like, you would put them online and just send rounds through them. Just right through all the tires. Pop them all. Now they have nothing. Now they have these huge, heavy Humvees that I know for a fact they're never going to be able to move. They would have been left in place. And they would still be there. I know this because there was tanks on the side of the road from when I was there that the Russians had left that hadn't even been moved. They would literally just stripped it, all the stuff they could possibly strip it for, and sold it. That's what would have happened. They would have taken the doors off. Some kid in the Panjshir Valley would have a Humvee window stuck in his house. That's literally what it would have been like. Like, I don't know why we didn't pop all the tires. That's another random thought, but hopefully Panjshir Valley, the National Resistance Force up there, will actually do some damage and put a pretty big dent in the Taliban's morale. So if you guys did not know this, there's been some reports coming out, quite a bit actually, that say that Afghan women reported were forced into marriages to flee the country amid the Taliban takeover. So when the Taliban takeover was going on, apparently there was men, like random men, would say that they were married to a woman so they can get on a flight to leave. And they don't know exactly how widespread this is, but it says right now that the State Department knows about it, in which women and girls were forced into marriage and or a ride with a male partner posing as their husbands to be eligible for evacuation. Yes, I'm going to make the assumption that they were trying to get as many women and children out of there, but they would take a family, so they would force them into a marriage so they can get on a flight to leave. Now that makes you wonder how many of those people are actually ISIS and or Taliban or anything like that. Let that sink in. There's another thing that's going on. I'm not going to go too far into that, but I'm sure that's going to come out even more so as this goes on, because this is just a fucking shit show. Even more crazy is the fact, like I said, you go on either one of these sites, you guys can go to Daily Wire, CNN, Fox News. Daily Wire is pretty much in the middle. They're more right, but they're definitely not crazy. But if you go on like CNN and Fox, the two that I always want to utilize for these kind of things, you look at them. And you just put them both up on your screen, and you guys look at the headlines for each one of them. They both have a political agenda. But the crazy thing is nobody on CNN, there's no articles right now about Biden's transcripts, which that's another giant fucking thing that I talked about yesterday. And I don't even know why that's not an impeachable thing. That should be an impeachable offense by itself if the last one was a peach on it, but it'll never pass. That's why they're so worried about 2022. That's why I was talking about earlier. They're so worried about 2022. Due to the fact that if we take control again, like if the Republicans take control again, then yes, he will be impeached, and then he's going to have to lawyer up. That's why 2022 is so, so important, and that's why they want to keep tabs on these poll numbers because of that fact. But Fauci's saying that there's another COVID variant that is not an immediate threat to Americans. I want to let you guys know it's not an immediate threat. It's a moo, whatever that means. We're keeping a very close eye on, he says. Thank you, Fauci, for protecting the world. If this son of a bitch wore a cape, he is the present day Batman. Fucking Fauci. He says the variant is a constellation of mutations that suggest that it would evade certain antibodies. So this other strain is called the Mu, M-U. That's all it is. It's M-U strain. I don't know if this is going to be something that's going to be coming out every 4 weeks. There's another strain of this thing. But he said that during his brief that he said it would not be surprised at all if 3 doses are required for Americans to be fully vaccinated against coronavirus. This is the other thing that keeps going on. Yes, I got the 2, but do I want to get a 3rd? And a 4th, and a 12th, and a 18th. So as I read more through the article, pretty much he's just continued to say that in his years and his vast years and knowledge of being an immunologist, that you need to have 3 doses. I'm trying to think back of all the shit that I've had, and I do know that, I mean, anthrax, I had the main shot, and then I think I had a booster every 4 months, or 3 months, or 6 months. I don't remember. And those ones hurt like hell. But I don't remember getting boosters for anything else. I'll just get them and that was it. But I guess you're not immune for life. I have no idea. What does he have to gain from it? That's my main question. So that's the other question I ask myself. So if he says I need a 3rd, what is he gaining from me getting that 3rd? Other than just getting on news and talking. But this is the other reason why I said, do you even need the 3rd? Because survey now says that more than 80% who are 16 years and older already have an immunity. That's the fucking other crazy thing. So they're saying that 80% of 16 years or older Americans already have an immunity, have some level of immunity, mostly through vaccination and blood donations is where they get this. I guess this is where they're getting their survey from, is from blood donations. The survey was led by the CDC that also indicates about twice as many people have been infected with the virus as have been officially counted. More than 39 million Americans have been diagnosed with coronavirus infection. So that means if 39 million have been officially done, so we're looking at 80 million people, roughly. 80 million. But this is also one of those kind of articles that is pushed in the very far back. Like, I had to click on an article, and this wasn't even the headline. I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, and then found this down near the middle, not near the bottom, but in the middle. It said that they worked with 17 blood collection organizations working in all 50 states plus DC, Puerto Rico, test blood covering 74% of the population. In the end, they tested about 1.4 million samples. And this is how they came up with this. I mean, 1.4 million samples is quite a bit. In July 2020, before any vaccine was available, 3.5% of samples carried antibodies of COVID-19. That rose to 11.5% by December. So you're looking at July to December, so you're looking at about 6 months, you had an increase of 8%. But then you're looking at, by May, 83%. 83% by May. That is like 4 months, 5 months later, 83% of the samples had antibodies of the virus, most of them from the vaccination. I don't know why that one's not being spoke about even more. That one seems kind of like a big deal, but I guess that's one of those kind of things that they were to put this. 80% of Americans 16 years or older have an immunity. If they were to put this as a headline, I would guarantee it's going to stop people from getting vaccinated. And right now, there's the highest number apparently ever there's been since the beginning of the vaccinations. Since they said that whenever they stopped the Johnson & Johnson, which killed the vaccination rate. As I scroll through this, I mean, there's a ton of other stuff on here, though, which doesn't really make sense because if 80% of people are vaccinated, it says that COVID-19 hospitalizations are remaining very high. I don't know. I don't think anybody fucking really understands this, to be honest with you. I got a couple more things I'm going to talk about. One of them is a pretty big deal. I think it's a big deal. I feel bad for all you people that are living in Australia listening to this, which I do know that we have a pretty large Aussie fan base, actually. I think 15, 16, 17% of viewers and listeners are actually from Australia. But if you guys did not know this, they actually came up with an app. I don't think it would fly in America, to be honest with you. I don't even know how it's flying in Australia. Australia seems like an island version of America, like just a floating out there version of America is what it seems like to me. It's always seemed like that to me, at least. But if you guys didn't know this, I'm just going to read this verbatim from the article. This was sent to me, by the way. So the government of South Australia is one of the country's 6 states developed and is now testing an app as Orwellian as any of the free world to enforce its quarantine rules. People in South Australia will be forced to download an app that combines facial recognition and geolocation. The state will text them at random times and thereafter they will have to respond. That is right. They will have 15 minutes to respond and take a picture of their face in the location they are supposed to be. Should they fail, the local police department will then be sent to follow up in person. Let that sink in. That's like some World War II shit. And, well, high-tech version of that. Like German type, you know what I mean? Like going door-to-door looking for the Jewish people. Like that, literally what this is. We don't tell them how often or where they have to be. It is on a random basis, and they have to reply within 15 minutes. Premier Stephen Marshall, whoever Premier Stephen Marshall is, he explained, I think every South Australian should feel very, very proud that we are in the national pilot for the home-based quarantine app.
That's fucking asinine.
They tell me these people are going to be basically put on house arrest, and you have to take a photo. And if you're not in the location that you say you are, within 15 minutes, you're going to be fined or arrested, or what's going to happen? My question is, what if your phone's dead? What if your child's on your phone playing YouTube in the bathroom? Or like, what if you're in the bathroom taking a shower? What if you're taking a number deuce in the woods and you left your phone in the truck? What the fuck is going on in Australia? Did you guys know this as well? That in Sydney, Australia, there's been more than 5 million people who have been in lockdown for more than 2 months. Melbourne, the country's second largest city, anti-lock protests were banned. Oh my God. I had no idea this was going on in Australia this bad. I've seen the protests, but I had no idea that it was like literally this bad. This is pretty bad. You guys in Australia are just being, this is, fuck, they're taking complete control of y'all over there. Complete control. People in America think that our government's trying to control us. You guys are having to download apps to tell you exactly where the government's going to know exactly where you're at. Oh, I didn't even touch on this because it was at the beginning of the article. Did you guys know that they're prohibited to leave the country? This is the other thing. You guys know that the nation's highest court struck down a challenge to countries, their COVID-19 restriction. This is also in Australia. They say that it may be accepted that the travel restrictions are harsh. It also may be accepted that they intrude upon individual rights. It ruled, but Parliament was aware of that. Until last month, Australians who are residents of foreign countries were exempt from the rules so they could return to their residence. But the government tightened the restrictions further, trapping many of them in the country. I don't even know if you guys knew this, but they couldn't even leave. It's been forbidden that its citizens from leaving the country. That's the same exact restrictions that North Korea has. And that was happening in Australia, or it is happening in Australia. They can't even leave their fucking country. Oh, God. I don't even know what to say about that, but I'm going to end it on a funny note and tell you guys that right now. This is a good note. I like this. I'll save this one at the very end. China, our favorite place in the world, banned non-masculine men from being on TV. So it was this last week. So you have Australia doing shit that North Korea does, and now clearly China. And now you have China is banning non-masculine men from TV. And this last week, they also banned kids from playing more than 3 hours a week of... I don't even know how you regulate that, but somehow they're doing that. Banning them from playing... Maybe there's a timer. Maybe they have to sign in online, and they only get so much... I don't know. Anyway, they only get 3 hours a week to play video games. And now they're banning non-masculine men from TV. This is what it says, literally exactly from the article, or from China, excuse me, literally from China. Broadcasters must resolutely put an end to sissy men and other abnormal aesthetics, the TV regulator said. The regulations are reportedly designed to vigorously promote excellent Chinese traditional culture, revolutionary culture, and advanced socialist culture. Furthermore, vulgar internet celebrities are not to be promoted. So basically, if you're an internet celebrity in China, you're done. Like, I wouldn't be able to have a platform in China. Like, just because I make podcast, like, you can't do anything, or not just podcasts, but YouTube videos. You're done. It's over. If you don't form to exactly what they want, you're out. Yeah, starting on Friday. So tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, minors will have limited to 3 hours of online gaming per week. And 3 hours can only be played on weekends during specific time slots. Holy shit. Man, if you guys thought you had it rough in here in America. If you thought your life was rough, in America, they're paying you to stay home. Do fucking nothing. And then and if you live in, as we know, as of yesterday, if you guys live in San Francisco, they'll pay you an additional $300 to $500 a month on top of that to not commit crimes. Let that sink in. New move to San Francisco. Be a part of their dream. I think it was like Dream Keepers. Dream Keepers move it. And you guys can get paid an additional $500. But if you want to move to China, no video games. If you're a man and you like to wear mascara, you are out. Don't even try it. So, hope you guys have a good day. I'm going to get out of here. That's a beautiful morning. It's 8:23 and it's a Friday, and I really would like to go fishing. So, hope you guys have a fantastic Friday, and I will actually talk to you guys again this coming Monday. If you guys are new, please subscribe and hit the follow button, whichever one is here. And there's new videos, new podcast every single day of the week, Monday through Friday. I do love you guys. I'm out.